Middle of your Bible to the Psalms, and we're going to look tonight at Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, and yes, we're going to cover the biggest part of that. It's the longest chapter, as you'll see, 176 verses. Now, we won't cover all those verses, but we will cover quite a few of them tonight. This is a great chapter on that book that you hopefully are holding in your hand right now, the Bible. And we're going to be talking tonight about how to understand the Bible. You know, I've had people in the past come to me and say, "Preacher Mike, I don't understand the Bible. Are we coming across here? Okay, can y'all hear all right? Okay. I have had people say to me that, you know, I don't understand the Bible, but you just about can't honestly say that anymore because there are so many different translations or modern versions of the Bible, and you can pretty much get a sense of what the verses are talking about now. There are some spots that are, every once in a while you hit a difficult patch, but the Word of God can be understood. You don't really believe God would give you something then hide the meaning of it from you, do you? I don't think you do. And He gave us His Word, and He intends us to understand it. But we're going to talk tonight about how to understand the Bible. We're going to be looking at a lot of verses of Scripture, so hold your Bible open to this particular chapter. And I want to begin tonight by reading verse 105. Verse 105. Talking about Vacation Bible School, Jeannie, this is a verse that we used to have as a memory verse 100 years ago when I was in Bible school. It's a memory verse for us. And this is what it says, Psalms 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So we're going to talk about how to understand the Bible. Somebody says, "When I read the Bible, it's just words. I don't seem to be able to understand it." So we're going to talk about that. It's so important that you understand this book God has given you to show you the way you ought to go. There is no need for you to stumble in darkness when you have the Bible. It's the book of all books. Years ago, on television, they used to have something on Saturdays called Shock Theater. Anybody remember Shock Theater? And they would have these horror movies on, horror shows, and I'd watch those. And inevitably, they would have the one about Frankenstein, if you remember that. And you remember Dr. Frankenstein had a book that he used called The Secret to Life and Death. Well, I want you to know, when you take this book right here, the Bible, that's what you've got. You've got the secret to life and death right here in the Word of God. And Jesus said one time, now listen to what the Lord said. The Lord said, "These words are life. These words are life." There's no other book in the world that can say that about itself. You know, Shakespeare, you know, I don't know who you want to claim to be a great author, but down through the history of mankind, there have been some great books, but none of them can say about themselves that these words are life. And there's no need for us to stumble in darkness when we have the Bible. It's the book of all books. Now, notice how the Bible describes itself down here. And we're going to look down through some verses, so get your fingers ready. We're going to let our fingers do the walking through the Bible, okay? So I want you to look, first of all, at verse 89, because the Bible describes itself as being timeless. Look at verse 89. Verse 89, it's 119 is the chapter. And verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." Go over to verse 152. And listen to what it says. "Concerning thy testimonies, I have known of old that thou hast founded them forever." Look at verse 160. "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever." Now you take all those verses, what do they say? They're saying that the Bible is timeless. The world changes. Fads come and go, but thank God there's a book that speaks to any time and all time. Somebody has said that empires have risen and fallen. Nations have gone from creation to cremation. Emperors have decreed the extermination of the Bible. Atheists have railed at the Bible. Liberals and modernists have done their best to disprove the Bible. materialists have ignored the Bible, but the Bible still stands. The Bible is timeless. The writer says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." But then I want you to notice something else about how the Bible describes itself. Not only is it timeless, but it is true as well. Look down to verse 142, if you would. "Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is truth." Look down to verse 151. "Thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth." Drop on down to, again to verse 160. "Thy word is true from the beginning." In other words, the Bible is complete and total truth. It is without error. It is without imperfection. I know we have some so-called experts today who think that we ought to re-examine the Bible, but I look at it the other way. I think we need to re-examine the experts. Amen? I mean, what we forget is that the Bible is supposed to judge us. And we're not to judge the Bible. The Bible is something that we judge ourselves by. And people are wanting today to change the Bible to fit the culture. You don't do that. The culture is to fit the Bible, see. I don't know if you know what a plumb line is or not. You know what a plumb line is? You take a plumb line and you can see if something is straight or not. Or you can make something straight by it, see. Well, the Word of God is God's plumb line to us. We're to get our lives straight compared to what the Word of God tells us, because the Bible is true. It is without error. The only salvation we know about, the only Christ, the only heaven, the only hell, the only judgment, the only church is what we learn from the Word of God. So the Bible says that it's timeless. The Bible points out here in this chapter that it is true. And then number three, the Bible is treasured. Now look at verse 72. Verse 72. "The law of thy mouth," the Bible, "the law of thy mouth," the Word of God, "is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Gold right now is running about $1,270 an ounce. It's pretty expensive. Silver is probably, what, $17 an ounce. Kind of expensive. This says, "The law of thy mouth, Lord, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." And then look over here at verse 103, if you would, please. Over here at verse 103. "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." You ever had honey? Put it in your mouth, a honeycomb full of honey, put it in your mouth, the sweetness of it. And the writer says, "The word of God is sweeter than even that." For those of us who know this book and love this book and study this book, it's treasured. We treasure this book. The more you read it, the more you treasure it. Many of God's saints have died clasping this book to their breast. I think I told you about Richard Cunningham in our church in Gaffney, how he died and his wife put his Bible in his hands in the casket because he read the book so much in those closing days of his life after he'd been saved, see? A lot of God's saints have died clasping this book to their breast. Now, here's the question I want to ask you. If this book is timeless, and if this book is true, and if it's treasured, don't you think we ought to read it and understand it? But now here's the real question. How many hours, how many minutes maybe I should say, how many seconds did you spend reading it this week? Now don't raise your hand. Don't smile. Don't say anything. You know, because sometimes, you know, we kind of skip on God's Word. Well, what I want to do is, tonight I want to show you four ways to understand your Bible. Preacher Mike, when I read the Bible, sometimes I don't understand it. How can I understand my Bible better? I want to give you four things that's going to help you to do that. Number one, maybe want to take notes or something. Number one, if you would understand the Bible, you got to pray over it. Look down at verse 12 of this same chapter. Down there in verse 12, the Bible says, Psalms 119 and verse 12, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." That's a prayer, folks. The psalmist says, "Teach me your statutes. Lord, teach me your word." Look down at verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You see, when we study the Bible, we ought to ask the Lord to teach us about His word. You see, the Lord is the author of this book. Now, I've read a lot of books when I was coming up through high school and college. I majored in English, and so as a result of that, I had to read a lot of literature. And sometimes I might have a book that I couldn't understand. I had quite a few of those in college I couldn't understand. But just suppose I had the author sitting beside me so that I could ask him, "What did you mean by this?" And he could tell me. Well, wouldn't that be wonderful? Well, you know what? When you come to the Bible, you've got the author accessible to you. I mean, we've got the Holy Spirit, who's the author of this book, who can show us the meaning of this book. And when we come to the Bible, to study the Bible, we ought to pray. You ought not ever read your Bible without praying first and just saying, "Lord, show me right here what you want me to see right here in this scripture." Now, let me tell you this. When you pray over the Bible, three things are going to happen. Number one, your eyes are going to be opened. Look back at verse 18 again. You see that? "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." What's the psalmist talking about? Is he talking about his physical eyes? No. Psalmist is not talking about your physical eyes, but he's talking about the eyes of your understanding, that it could be enlightened. When you pray over the Bible, as you study it, you will begin to see things that you never saw before. You remember those disciples who were on the road to Emmaus? The Lord Jesus Christ had died on the cross. He had risen from the grave. The Bible says there were two unnamed disciples going to Emmaus. They were on the road to Emmaus. And you remember how the Lord came up to them and started journeying with them, walking on the way with them? The Bible says that they did not immediately recognize who He was. But as He walked along with them, the Bible says, "And then opened Jesus their understanding, that they might understand the Scripture." Now let me say this. Without the help of the Holy Spirit, you can't understand the Bible. I can't understand the Bible. I mean, the Bible says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, and neither can he know them, for they are spiritually understood. We've got to have outside help when we come to read the Bible. So our eyes will be open when we pray over the Bible. And then number two, your heart will be stirred. Has the Bible ever seemed dull to you? Has it ever seemed tedious to you and tasteless? Y'all are looking at me like holier than thou. I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to say, yeah, that's happened to me. The Bible just kind of seemed boring to me, or tedious to me, or just, you know, I just wasn't interested. I mean, when you pray for understanding as you read the Bible, you know what the Lord will give you? He'll give you a heart to feel. And you'll start to take an interest in it. And your heart becomes moved and stirred, and the truths of God's Word begin to interest you and become real to you. But then a third thing that will happen is when you pray over the Bible, your eyes will be open, your heart will be stirred. But then number three, your mind will be enlightened. Your mind will be enlightened. Look down at verse 73 of this same chapter. Down in verse 73. "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." You pray for understanding as you read the Bible, and the Lord will give it to you. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been passages in the Bible that I have read numbers of times. I mean, numbers of times I've read them. Maybe they were in a devotional reading that I was assigned, maybe in Our Daily Bread or Open Windows or something like that. And I've read this verse, this passage over here, a number of times. But then sometimes I may sit down and say, "Lord, show me something about this." And have you ever seen something in a passage that you've never seen before? You ever read the Bible? I mean, that just comes to you. Something jumps out at you that you've never seen before. Well, that's the Holy Spirit giving you that enlightenment. God has done that. And let me give you three words that we need to understand with reference to God showing us His Word. I'm going to give you three words. They're kind of hard words, but I think you'll understand. First one is what we call revelation. Revelation is not just the last book of the Bible. I'm talking about the idea that revelation is God revealing Himself. God reveals Himself. We could never know anything about God unless He revealed Himself. The Bible says, "Can a man by reasoning find out God?" And the obvious answer to that is no. Revelation is God revealing Himself. We can't know God unless He reveals Himself. And then there's the word inspiration. This is where man has written down what God reveals so that we get it right. the writers of the Bible were moved by the Holy Spirit so that they could write what God wanted written. The Bible says holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, revelation and inspiration have taken place in the past, but there's a third word I want to give you, and this is the word illumination. And this is where God illumines you and helps you to understand His truth. And we need to pray when we come to the Bible, God, illumine me, open my eyes, stir my heart, give me understanding. It is so important if we're to understand the Word of God that we pray over it. All right, we're going to do a pop quiz. Everybody get your paper out and pencil. Here's the question, one question. Y'all not taking out your paper and pencil. Don't do that really, I'm just going to ask you. Number one, when we come to the Bible, what are we supposed to do? Pray over it. That's the key thing right there. All right, number two, let me give you another word. When you come to the Bible, not only are you to pray about it, but you are to ponder it. Ponder it. This does not mean that you should not study. When I say that God will open your understanding, I don't mean that God's going to short-circuit your mind. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And by the way, I want to say to Sunday school teachers, please, as you study, don't wait till Saturday night to start doing it, okay? We used to teach our folks over at Fountain Inn, you know, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you know when you ought to start studying for next Sunday's lesson? Sunday afternoon. Then you got all week long to study and let God work in your heart and show you things that are related to that text and to that lesson for the next week. But please don't start on Saturday night. That's too late. You need to be studying all week long. You got to study. Now, look at some verses to show us how to ponder the Word of God. Down in verse 15, you see verse 15? Same chapter, Psalms 119, verse 15. Now, get this. I will meditate in thy precepts or teachings and have respect or regard unto thy ways. You see that? You see the word meditate? That just means to think deeply about God's Word. And then look down at verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. We're told there to sit and let the Word of God go through us as we meditate on the Scripture. And then go over to verse 97. Am I going too quick? Look at verse 97. The writer says, oh, how I love thy law, it is my meditation all the day. To ponder the Word of God is to take a verse of Scripture or a passage of Scripture and you meditate on it and you mull it over in your mind and you analyze it and you think about it and you try to understand what it means. Anybody in here have any cows? I know David's got some cows. Anybody else have any cows? Okay, do y'all even know what a cow is? All right. You ever see an old cow? Old cow, after a while, you know, it's been grazing. Then after a while, it'll go under a shade tree somewhere and it'll lay down and it will chew its cud. Now, I don't know how to say this in a nice way. What it does is that food, they belch it up and they chew it some more. They go over it and over it and over it. That's the picture here of meditating on the Word of God. You read it, and you belch it up, you know, and you analyze it, you think about it, you mull it over in your mind over and over and over, see, and you try to understand what it means. You won't understand God's Word without doing that, without pondering it. Every little word, you ponder it. These have God married, and no man shall part, dust on the Bible and drought in the heart. Well, what's involved in pondering the Bible? Preacher Mike, I'm to pray over the Bible. I am to ponder the Bible. But how do I ponder the Bible? Let me give you some key words. The first one down here is the word commitment. You got to have a commitment. Now, if you're lazy or if you have other priorities, you'll never understand the Bible. Look down at verse 127. The writer says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. How many of you could say you love God's Word more than any fine gold? See. Do you have a commitment to the Word of God that means more to you than gold? Or look down to verse 147. The writer says, I prevented the dawning. Now what that means is, I got up before dawn and cried, I hoped in thy word. It means I was up early before the sun arose with the Word of God, pondering it. Look at the next verse, 148. My eyes prevent the night, that is, my eyes anticipate the evening watches that I might meditate on the Word of God. Now those two verses right there say, when I go to bed, when I get up in the morning, I ponder your Word. In other words, the psalmist is saying, God's Word means more to me than money or sleep. Have you ever really committed yourself to learning the Word of God? We've got to be committed to it, number one. Number two, as we ponder it, I want you to consider the word context. You have to study the Scripture in its context. That is, you study Scripture that comes before a passage. You study the Scriptures that come after it. A lot of people study the Bible by just opening anywhere and dropping in and start reading. Well, if you did any other book that way, do you think you'd understand it? I'm going to tell you what, you can get in trouble doing that. I heard about this old boy, and he was seeking God's will, and he was going to read God's Word. And so he just cracked the Bible open, took his finger, and it said down there, and Judas went out and committed suicide. He said, no, that's not it. So he turned over here in another verse and did this, and it said, go thou and do thou likewise. You can get in trouble reading the Bible that way, okay? And what I'm saying to you, that you've got to consider context. If you're going to understand the Bible, read it in its context. Begin at the first of a book of the Bible and read it through. And the best way to understand a passage of Scripture is in the context of the verses before it and after it. And if you don't do that, you can make some bad mistakes. So read it in context. And then another word is the word comparison. I'm pondering God's Word. To do that, I've got to have a commitment to it. I've got to read it in its context, and I've got to read it by comparison. Now, what do I mean by that? What I mean by that is the best interpretation of the Bible is the Bible itself. Now, you listen to what I'm saying. In my library, if I can find all of them now since I retired, but in all those boxes and on the bookshelves and everywhere else, I've had 1,000 books or better. That's a lot of books. A lot of commentaries. You know the best commentary of the Bible that I've got of all of them? The Bible. Now the others are good, but you see the Bible is the best interpretation of the Bible of anything. And you've got to listen to what the Bible says about itself. Let me tell you what, somebody, you know, I want you to just understand that I am not in favor of alcohol. And I have people tell me sometime, Preacher Mike, I think I can be a social drinker because Paul told Timothy to take a little wine for the stomach's sake. They take one verse of Scripture and build a whole doctrine around that. But what you have to do is you've got to take all 66 books of the Bible and see what it says on the consumption of alcohol. Then you'll come up with the right answer. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to look at all the Word of God and see what it's teaching about any particular kind of topic. And so, you know, we've got to have a commitment to the Word of God. We've got to read it in context. We've got to compare what it says with one verse over against another. And then get this. You've got to have some common sense as you read it. You don't have to throw away your brains in order to understand the Bible. The Bible contains poetry sometimes, so if it does, read it as poetry. The Bible sometimes has prose, so you read it as prose, and it uses figures of speech and metaphors and symbols. The Bible does not always mean to be taken literally. For example, over there in the Psalms, it talks about pine trees clapping their hands. Well, I've got pine trees in my backyard among some other trees. I don't see any hands on those pine trees, and I've never seen them clap their hands. So obviously that's figurative language. You've got to use common sense that will tell you what to take literally and what not to. So we're talking about pondering God's Word. Now how do you ponder a passage of Scripture? Now you may want to write this down, sure enough. Let me give you a little guide on what to do. And here it is. I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to come back and explain it real clearly. Read the passage through. Think it clear. Write it down. Pray it in and live it out. You want me to go over that again? All right, let's do it. Number one, read the passage through. Sit down and read the Bible. You got a passage in front of you. Read it in whatever version you want to. King James is what I've got right here. Then you may want to go back to another translation and read the same passage in that. And then you may want to go back to another translation and read the same passage in that. Somebody says, well, I don't believe in those other translations. Well, I don't even believe in King James. I want to go back to the Greek. Listen, folks, Jesus didn't come around speaking in King James English. You know, He spoke in Aramaic and Greek and Hebrew. He knew all those, see. That's what those manuscripts were first written in. So I want to go back to these and see what did Jesus really say, see. So I've got to read the passage through. I read it through several times, through different translations, even some of the paraphrases. And I want to know what the passage is saying. And then number two, I think it clear. As I sit down and read, I just sit down and I think about the verses that I'm reading and the words I'm reading. And as I read the passage and think the passage, I start to write it down. Read it through, think it clear, write it down. I start making notes. Now let me give you a little saying I learned a long time ago. The weakest ink is better than the best memory. The weakest ink is better than the best memory. I mean, sit down and write down some notes. Don't depend on, you know, remembering these things later. Write them down. Read the passage through. Think it clear. Write it down and then pray it in. Talk to God about what you think a passage means and see if it sounds good to Him. Read it through. Think it clear. Write it down. Pray it in. And then what? Live it out. The truths of God's Word that you learn, you begin to live out and put into practice in your daily living. Now, as you're thinking a passage of Scripture clear, ask yourself three questions. Number one, is there a passage right here to claim? Or a promise? Is there a promise right here to claim? If there is, don't just read about it. Start using it. You know, just start... claiming those promises. Is there a promise to claim? Number two, is there a lesson to learn? If there is, write it down and start practicing that lesson. Number three, is there a blessing to enjoy? If there is, enjoy it. And then you might ask yourself, is there a command to obey? Well, if there is, you know, from that moment on, you do what God's Word says. And then you might say, well, is there a sin to avoid? Is God warning me about a particular sin? Or is there a new thought to carry with me? You see, all of this goes under pondering God's Word. Number one, I pray over the passage I'm reading. God, help me to understand this. Number two, I ponder it. I read it. I study it. I analyze it. I think about it. I chew my spiritual cud over it. I'm pondering God's Word. And then number three, practice it. You see, it's no good to you to study the Bible and then you don't practice it. Now let's look at the verses again. Look at Psalms 167. Psalms 119, verse 167. The writer says, my soul has kept thy testimonies and I love them exceedingly. The way to love the Bible is to keep the Bible. Look, verse 168. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Now what am I saying? You have to put the Bible into practice. I've been doing what I do now for a long time. I mean a long time. Probably longer than some of you have even been in the room or in the world. And I've watched people come to church all my ministry. And they'll come, you know, And they'll sit there in their pew and, you know, some of them are like this. And some of them are looking at you with a blank stare. There may be some of them sitting there taking notes. And I preach my heart out and other preachers preach your heart out. And you know, the thing that breaks our hearts is we see so many of our church members get out there in the world Monday through Saturday and the way they live, it's like they've not even heard what you said. So what I'm saying is, at some point, we've got to put this stuff into practice. We've got to do what God's Word tells us to do. I mean, we've got a generation today, and by the way, I'm seeing this more and more today. We have a generation today who love to claim the promises of God, but don't hold them obligated to anything. See, they want to go out here and live like the devil, but at the same time, they want to know that God's going to bless them. Doesn't work that way. It don't work that way at all, see. I mean, we've got a generation who likes to recite the promises without obeying the commandments. I mean, you're in serious trouble, friend, when you say, I know what the Bible says, but I have had people in my ministry, and maybe here's some old guy, and maybe he's been faithful in church and doing his thing, but then he has an affair. And he's unfaithful to his wife. And he'll have the audacity to sit in my study and say, Preacher Mike, God led us together. I tell them, no, God didn't lead you together. The devil led you together. And they sit there like I shot them with a shotgun. Now, what am I telling you? I mean, we've got people today who want to say, well, you know, I know what the Word of God says, but nothing. If God's Word says it, do it. It's as simple as that. But I love her. Yeah, you're living like the devil is what you're doing, see. I mean, the way to obey the part of the Bible that you don't understand is to obey the part of the Bible that you do understand. I've done going to preaching now. I'm not teaching anymore. See. But I mean, you know, if we're going to understand God's Word, we've got to pray over it. We've got to ponder it. And then we've got to practice it. And then number four, if you would understand the Bible, you must proclaim it. Look at verse 13 down here in the same chapter. I didn't know all this was in this chapter. This is a good chapter. Verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments or ordinances of thy mouth. Look over here at verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Look over here at verse 172. Over here at verse 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. And over and over and over again, the Bible tells us that we're to take God's word upon our lips. The more of the Bible you give away, the more the Bible will stick to you. I mean, there's something wonderful about sharing God's Word. Let me tell you what. If you're a child of God, you ought to find somebody that you can teach. You ought to find somebody that you can teach. And in order to be a teacher, you must know more than somebody else. I heard about somebody who asked this man, well, how do you teach your dog so many tricks? He had this smart dog, and this dog just do all kinds of things. And somebody said, well, how do you teach your dog so many tricks? I can't teach mine. And the man said, well, you've got to know more than the dog. You find somebody you can teach, somebody that you can give a word of testimony to, somebody with whom you can share, and as you begin to share the Word of God, it will begin to stick to you. We must know it in the head, stay it in the heart, show it in the life, and sow it out in the world. And when we begin to do that, the Word of God becomes real to us, and you understand God's Word. Listen, folks, if you want to understand the Bible, pray over it as you study it. Ponder it as you read it. Practice it in your life and proclaim it as you go on your way every day. One of my favorite poems is this one. Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is the book worn and old that can shatter and scatter my fears. When I prayerfully look in the precious old book, many pleasures and treasures I see, many tokens of love from the Father above who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide, 'tis a friend by my side, it will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens my mind as I read it and heed it today. I heard about this young lady. She once laid down a book which she had just finished, with the remark that it was the dullest story she had ever read. Well, in the course of time, she became engaged to a young man, and one night she said to him, "You know, I've got a book in my library whose author's name and even initials are precisely the same as yours. Isn't that a coincidence?" And he said, "I don't think so." She said, "Why not?" And he said, "For the simple reason that I wrote the book." That night, that young lady sat up until 3 o'clock in the morning reading that book again. And this time it seemed the most interesting story she had ever read. The once dull book was now a fascination because she knew and loved the author. Is that the way you feel about God's Word? I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Now, this sermon is not just about God's Word, but it's about God's Word with a capital W. Old John says in the Gospel of John that Jesus is the Word of God, capital W. And He came and died on the cross that our sins could be forgiven, that we could go to heaven when we die. And if you'll trust Christ as your Lord and Savior and pray a simple prayer and ask Him to come into your heart and trust Him by faith, willing to turn from the wrong in your life with His help, He'll save you, forgive your sins, and you ought to spend the rest of your life reading His Word, trying to learn as much about Him as you can. You know Jesus, this old book takes on a whole lot different meaning. And I hope that you know Him as your Savior. Maybe you need to come tonight as a Christian and recommit your life to Him. That'd be fine. If you want to come kneel around this platform or share with me in a prayer, that'd be fine. Or if you're looking for a church home, God's led you to this place of service, then you feel free to come and join by your membership here if God so leads you. Father, I pray now, Lord, that we will more and more every day conduct ourselves according to Your Word. I pray that it would become precious to us, Father. And I pray, Lord, that if there's somebody here tonight who does not know the real Word of God, that they would trust Jesus tonight. And we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.